Have you ever experienced trauma? If you have, you know that getting past it isn't something that happens quickly or easily. But there is a path forward, one laid out in the new book, The Unexpected Gift of Trauma, The Path to Post-Traumatic Growth by Edith Shiro. Edith is a clinical psychologist in private practice in Miami and the co-founder of the Trauma and Resilience Center. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, my name is Dr. Edith Shiro. I'm a clinical psychologist in private practice for the last 25 years. I work with children, adults, individuals, couples, families, and communities in dealing with trauma, overcoming trauma. I'm a space holder for transformation. I'm very excited to share with you my new book, The Unexpected Gift of Trauma, The Path to Post-Traumatic Growth. I want to share with you five of the key insights into my book. Insight number one, trauma has the power to destroy and the power to transform. Trauma has always been part of the human experience. As much as we'd like to think otherwise, it really is an unavoidable part of being alive. Sometimes it's easy to identify. Just read the daily news. Massive earthquakes and floods and fires and natural disasters that kill thousands and display thousands more. Hate crimes, terrorist attacks, toxic spills. I don't have to go over all the list. The list goes on and on. Other times, it hides behind hidden closed doors. Child abuse, domestic violence, poverty, and housing insecurity. Many experience this through microaggressions leveled at them because of their religion, their ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation. Trauma clearly has the capacity to destroy individual lives, even whole communities, upending everything we know to be true and leaving us with a sense of hopelessness and confusion. And yet, some people can go through difficult experience and will not only survive, but thrive. And that is the paradox of trauma. Until recently, issues related to mental health were stigmatized. And in some places of the world, they still are. It wasn't really recognized how relevant it is to talk about trauma and its effects on people's overall health and well-being. It is not until we're faced with situations that completely change our environment, such as the global pandemic that we've been going through, war, repetitive school shootings, natural disasters, that the word trauma begins to resonate in people's ears. Yes, it is true that trauma has the capacity to destroy, to paralyze us, to affect each and every one of our environments in which we develop, to isolate us, and to change the way we live forever if we decide to ignore it or pretend that it doesn't exist. But it can also be a tool that leads us towards transformation, growth, and a higher level of wisdom and consciousness. That possibility exists, and that is called post-traumatic growth, PTG. PTG is the positive psychological changes that people experience as a result of the struggles with highly challenging life circumstances. PTG is both a process of transformation and a potential outcome in the face of adversity. The best way to illustrate this is by looking at my patient Bill, who was a firefighter in Lower Manhattan when the tragic terrorist events took place on September 11th. He witnessed horrific scenes that left deep scars on him and completely traumatized him. This trauma affected not only him, but also his relationship with his wife, daughters. He started drinking. He hated going to work, denying something was going on with him. There was something wrong. One day, he found himself standing at the top of the Washington Bridge, about to end his life. He was going to jump from the bridge when he finally realized he needed help. After working in therapy and with real, true help of his support system, he went through the five stages of post-traumatic growth and began to heal. Later, he chose to help the other firefighters who had gone through the same trauma and eventually created and expanded downtown community support for all those people, community members, and neighborhoods that have lived through the horrors of September 11th. People who experience PTG see trauma as an adversity, as a possibility for transformation. They not only process what has happened to them and recover from it, but their lives are enriched because of the experience. I think of them as everyday heroes, and we all see examples that we all know. For example, people like Oprah, the activist Malala Yousafzai, LeBron James, Lady Gaga, who's shared it very publicly, have endured terrible suffering, and yet they've gone on to name, heal, and integrate their past into their present lives, and use what they've learned to ease the suffering of others as well. Insight number two, from breakdowns to breakthroughs. The process of post-traumatic growth is hard. Not everyone wants or even needs to go through that. Some people truly remain stuck in PTSD, in post-traumatic stress disorder. Others find a way to bounce back from adversity, put their experiences behind them, and get on with their lives, becoming more resilient. But those who are committed to the journey of this process find that they not only heal, but they emerge stronger, more beautiful than ever. Not in spite of what they've gone through, but because of it. I've seen this growth in those who have endured unspeakable acts of violence, as well as others who have suffered through the heartbreak of a painful divorce, debilitating accident, bully, death of a child. Once hopeless and anxious, they have emerged empowered and confident. All of this continues to inspire my belief that trauma can be a springboard for radical transformation and emotional and spiritual growth. That there's profound wisdom locked within our suffering waiting to be revealed. I think the perfect symbol or metaphor for PTG comes from the Japanese philosophy Kintsugi. It's an ancient Japanese art form of mending broken pottery. The goal in repairing a broken vase, for example, is not to hide the imperfections, but to use lacquer mixed with powdered gold to enhance them and to integrate them into something unique and often more beautiful than the original. And the finished piece is an invitation to celebrate our uniqueness and our brokenness. The fact is that we all have broken pieces within us, wounds that remind us of experiences we'd rather forget. As Leonard Cohen once wrote, "There's a crack in everything. That's where the light gets in." That is what post-traumatic growth is all about. It allows you to hold the trauma and the healing at the same time. We're not just repairing what's broken. We're creating a whole new story, a whole new narrative for ourselves. In my experience, I've had the opportunity to identify 5 different stages that people invariably go through. They have managed to bring their state of pain and deep suffering to a state of happiness, wisdom, and growth. This process can serve as a roadmap towards helping people recognize when they're stuck and how to navigate the journey so they can experience a sense of renewal and rebirth, and even a spiritual awakening. They provide a language to identify, define, express, and communicate the process of healing. These stages serve to recognize milestones to measure progress, thereby overcoming hopelessness and despair. This approach works not only for individuals, but collective, systemic, and cultural traumas. Think of these stages as a collective journey from which we emerge from isolation and paralysis, no longer disconnected and fragmented from ourselves and others. Together, we unlock our collective wisdom, bringing consciousness and transformation to all. Insight number 3. Trauma is contagious, and so is wisdom and growth. This is how it works. The generations that came before us passed it on to us, and then we unconsciously passed it on to our children, and on and on and on, our family lineage, our community, and the culture. Repetitive patterns, limiting beliefs, fears, wounds of rejection, discrimination, and abandonment. This is all passing, not only psychologically, emotionally, but also genetically. But this isn't the only big traumatic experience from our past that gets imprinted in our cellular memory. But it isn't only the big traumatic experiences from our past that get imprinted in our cellular memory. For example, if you have fear of water, it might have originated from the fact that your great-grandmother almost drowned and repeatedly impressed upon her children and grandchildren that pools and lakes and oceans were horrible, dangerous places. You inherited that fear without even knowing its origin. What research shows us is that one person's trauma can spread to their family members, to people they love, to those they share a cultural and historical ancestry. It can have far-reaching consequences for individuals, families, and communities. Sometimes you might not even realize how a traumatic experience has impacted you until you see how it's affecting others. My patient Pilar, for example, told me one day that she was in the park with her 5-year-old daughter playing and having a good time when all of a sudden her daughter was standing in front of her and she froze. It suddenly hit her. Wow, oh my God, I've been sexually abused when I was my daughter's age. I am a survivor of sexual abuse. In that moment, she knew not only that she had to accept that she was victimized, but she had to take the steps to heal, not only for her sake, but for her daughter's, and even for her daughter's future children. By committing to post-traumatic growth, we not only heal and transcend our own traumas, but we heal the traumas of our grandparents, great-grandparents, our ancestors, and our own generation. We do the work. We can hopefully say, the trauma stops here. We can say, I refuse to pass along my suffering or the suffering I inherited of my children and grandchildren. I am breaking the cycle of trauma. It is important to understand, of course, that trauma isn't the only thing that gets passed on. When we go through post-traumatic growth, not only we change our lives for the better, but we change the lives of our future generations, which is amazing news. In healing our traumas, we not only heal the suffering of our ancestors, but we bring forth and pass on their wisdom, their joys, their strengths, their beliefs that will sustain and enrich our lives. Insight number 4, to accept is to move forward. So now the question is, how does the post-traumatic growth process start? What have I observed is that it has to begin with what I call radical acceptance. It's when you are at the darkest, lowest place, and as one of my patients says, it's a holy shit moment. It's that moment when you realize everything is out of control. You don't know who you are. You don't know how things work. You don't even know how to relate to others. Nothing makes sense. You've hit rock bottom and cannot endure the pain. Something needs to shift. It's time to attend to the wounds buried within deep in your being. It's time to radically accept that these wounds, which may have originated from something that happened yesterday or last week or many years ago or even in your childhood, are very much alive in the present. Because here's the thing, you cannot move forward until you do. In the words of the amazing writer Anais Nin, the day came when the risk to remain in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. My patient Oren is a great example. He loved to party hard, drink, doing drugs, staying out all night. He told me he never really thought he had a problem. He was just having fun until his best friend staged an intervention. Immediately after that, he says, he went into a spiral of denial, blaming his friends for overreacting and abandoning him. Then one day, he got into his car after an all-night bender and ran off the road, ending up with multiple injuries. Lying in the hospital, completely incapacitated, he got it. I am an addict, and if I keep going the way I'm going to die. During the course of life, each person goes through circumstances that allow them to develop defense mechanisms to a greater or lesser degree, that in moments of difficulty and great pain help them survive adversity. These adaptive behaviors that make us dissociate, deny, or detach from the pain keep us functioning in ways in which we can continue to live our life without feeling the actual pain, loss, or suffering. Sometimes it takes another event to happen that can bring the trauma back to awareness for it to finally become conscious. Before we can heal, we first must accept that we are suffering, acknowledge that there's a cause of suffering, recognize that there's an end to it, as well as a path to get us there if we choose to take it. Radical acceptance is to accept what is happening to us in the moment, even when there are no words to describe it or give it a name yet. Radical acceptance is the beginning of the beautiful journey towards post-traumatic growth. And finally, insight number 5, trust the process and stick with it. Post-traumatic growth is not necessarily a natural process that occurs automatically to all people who come to heal their traumas, nor does it erase the trauma. It does not happen the same for all people, and it's not an illusion. Post-traumatic growth is real, and available to anyone, but it requires attention, determination, and a commitment to discipline and effort. It has its own timeline and cannot be rushed. Healing actually takes courage, vulnerability, and a certain level of belief in the process. Many people feel that the work they've done to transform their lives and transcend the pain of their past has forever changed them. They become more conscious, more awake, and more connected to everything around them. I'm often asked, so now what? So how can we stay elevated? Once we experience wisdom and growth, are we done? Is this a permanent thing? Well, not exactly. Life doesn't really work like that. Post-traumatic growth doesn't mean that we won't face new obstacles, or in facing them, we won't be frightened or sad or challenged. Suffering is part of the human experience, and nothing can shield us from future heartbreak. However, once we've gone through the process, we know that we are capable of facing adversity. We trust ourselves more. We know that we can grow after trauma, than that it's possible. We have the tools we need to make it happen, and that is worth the struggle to get there. Some of the ways we keep healing and transforming is to stay connected to our bodies, to our minds, through movement, meditation, breathing, to nurture relationships around us with friends, families, to express ourselves in creative ways, art, music, writing, dancing, to have a sense of belonging to our communities where we can be of service and become a voice of healing for others. When you're willing to do the work and show up fully committed, post-traumatic growth offers a way to a richer, more connected life, not in spite of what you've gone through, but because of it. PTG cannot happen overnight. It might come quickly for some people, while others find themselves stuck in a stage for quite a long time. Sometimes it will feel like you will never be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but eventually you will. All you need to do is trust the process and take the time you need to heal and advance at your own pace. It will take working with your therapist, facilitator, mentor, guru, and having the support of your family, friends, and community. Most importantly, you must be willing to dive into the fire, burn away the wounds of the trauma, and be reborn. In the words of Haruki Murakami, when you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. That's what the storm is all about. Thank you so much for listening to this. I hope you really enjoy it. I hope you get to the book, get to read it, and share it with others. And we can always have a conversation about this and get to a more elevated, conscious, happier, fulfilling life.
Thank you, Edith. That was 5 big ideas from The Unexpected Gift of Trauma, The Path to Post-Traumatic Growth by Edith Shiro. You might also like our book bite for My Inner Sky on Embracing Day, Night, and All the Times in Between by Mari Andrew. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.